Now I can say officially, good morning. Good morning. And Wilshire Live, good morning. Great to see you all. Well, good to be with you all this morning. What a wonderful Sunday morning to be in God's presence. And so, would you pray with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have spoken to us, your children. You have not forgotten us. You have called us, and you have called us to this place here today. May we hear your words, maybe for some of us for the very first time, and may they truly be life into our souls. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are continuing our series, The Center, and what we're calling is The Center. And really, the center of all things, what we have continued to say is Jesus. Is God is at the center of everything that we're doing. And so we're exploring this through the book of Mark. We're hearing an eyewitness story through Peter, and Mark is writing this down. Peter had walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, ate with Jesus, was Jesus's closest disciple, and now he's telling this story. And so here we get to enter in and see real life stories, accounts of this Jesus. And so we are continuing through Mark, and we'll look at Mark 2. And this morning, what we're really talking about is rest. So today's topic is rest. And I don't know, some of you, if you came through these doors, and maybe you feel overwhelmed. Maybe you're looking for rest, and it always seems to escape you. There's times where you try and find rest, and maybe you've even gone on vacation, and then you feel like you need a vacation after that. I see some nods, right? Amen. And so we're always longing for rest, and it's something that creeps in our soul, and that's what we're going to explore today. We're going to look at what is true rest. How do you find rest for your soul? Your soul, I always think of a visual sometimes, and I feel like sometimes our souls are rats or mice on a wheel, right? Just running, 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 and not going anywhere. But today, my hope is that we could exit out from that wheel and find true rest this morning and stop and realize what we were created for and what we were called to actually be. So, thinking about rest, my wife and I were reflecting. She looked at me and said, do you remember that time? It was just a really busy season in our life. And so we went down to escape we lived in San Diego. And so there was this sweet part of town we were going where my family was staying. And so we were just ready to go, and it's somewhat close to the beach, and just relax. And so we were looking forward to it. We had been kind of just a busy season of church and so many different things. And it was only one day. We were just one or two days. We were sneaking away. And we get down there. We drive almost at 9 or 10 at night. We've got our girls in the car. And they fall asleep. And we're just, this feels good, doesn't it? And so we get there. And we get the girls inside. And we're like, we're here. And as we go to sleep, just maybe moments after we fall asleep, our oldest daughter doesn't feel well and just starts throwing up everywhere. And I mean everywhere. So Jamie and I, no longer are resting. It's the middle of the night, and we are cleaning every inch of the house, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., cleaning. It was like The Exorcist, just everywhere. And we just had to laugh because rest had escaped us. And so I'm just making fun of this and poke at it, but there is something that I think rest escapes us, because I think many of us, especially in Southern California, Orange County, we are addicted to busyness. We're addicted to busyness. I saw just a little explanation on the internet, how even tips how to look busier. Some of you, do you do this? You don't have to admit it and raise your hand, but we try and look busier in our lives. And so this little joke was saying, if you want to look busy, just grab more stuff in your hands and just run around fast pace, and people will assume you're doing important things. Some of us are like, oh, that's a good idea. I need to try that at work. But there's something about that we want to always appear to be busy. And so there's something inside of us in our culture that says the more busy you are, the more you produce, the more worth that you have. And so we become addicted to this because staying still means you don't have any worth. And by being busy and accomplishing and doing great things, then you're valuable. And so there's a buzz that we get from busyness, and we get addicted to it. And so what happens is we're always looking for busyness to fill our lives, to find worth, to get approval from others. I mean, you see it in conversations. Check this week when you ask people how you are doing. An often explanation in Orange County, Southern California is, I'm busy. I'm busy. I found this in my own vocabulary. I'm busy. This was a busy week. And so often our souls, we long for rest. We long for it. In fact, the way God created us is to find rest. And the fourth commandment in the Bible is to honor the Sabbath. And to take the Sabbath is a day that you take off, that God created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. Now, did God get tired? No, God didn't get tired creating the universe, but he wanted to rest and acknowledge that everything during those 6 days was good and it was enough. And he said, it is good. And so he rested. And so he calls us. Now, it's so interesting. If you look at the Ten Commandments, so many of the Ten Commandments are, they make sense. Right? The first commandment, that we should only love God. We should only have one God. And second commandment, we shouldn't make other idols or images about God, false gods, and worship them. So many of the eighth commandment, don't steal. A lot of these make sense. Right? We shouldn't take things that aren't ours. We shouldn't commit adultery. You shouldn't covet another neighbor's wife. All of these things, they make sense. If it's not your wife, you shouldn't want it. You shouldn't want her, right? These things make sense. Don't steal. It's not yours. But the fourth commandment is an interesting commandment, that you should honor the Sabbath. You should keep one day holy, because God worked 6 days, and on the seventh, he rested. So let's explore this. What is this Sabbath, this rest, that God, it isn't an option. A lot of times in the Christian, if you've been a Christian a while, we just live our lives, but God calls us to rest, and Jesus affirms that in this story. So let's pick up in Mark 2. We're going to look at what's going on here. And if you have... if you don't have a Bible, you can follow along on the screen, or we have the Wilshire Blue Bibles underneath. You can find those. And if you don't have a Bible, that's our gift to you, so please take that home and use that. So let's go to Mark 2, verse 23. Now it says this, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees are these religious leaders, and it says, they said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? He said, so they're going, the Pharisees, the disciples, these are Jesus' disciples, they're learning from Jesus, and they're going through the grain fields on the Sabbath day, the day that they are supposed to be resting. And they're supposed to be resting, and what do? They're hungry. And so they grab pieces of grain and they begin to eat them because they're hungry. And so the Pharisees, who had created a lot of strict rules and saying, this is what you can do and this is what you can't do on the Sabbath. Now, they weren't necessarily biblical. They had created, in order to honor the Sabbath, you had to do this, 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 and this, and this. And so they had all these strict guidelines. And one of them wasn't that you couldn't do work. And these were good rules, but they were hyper-religious, and they enforced them. And they almost made it their own God. And so these Pharisees were mad that the disciples were doing this. And so then Jesus' response, I love this. Jesus, he answered, he says, have you never read? And this is what I always love about how Jesus does this. These are Pharisees. They know the law. They've read the scriptures. And so he always counters them. He says, well, have you never read? I'm in verse 25. What David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need. In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered in the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And also he also gave some to his companions. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So Jesus is saying, he's saying the Sabbath wasn't made for man. It wasn't enforced. It's not all these rules so man could follow them and figure out, put man inside of a box. What Jesus is saying, that he says it right here, says the Sabbath was made for man. Sorry, I mixed that up. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Do you see what's going on here? Jesus is saying what he's trying to get to point us to, that the Sabbath is more than rules. There's something deeper going on here. And we'll answer this question a little bit more. There's these two stories back to back in Mark's gospel that talk about what is the Sabbath. Let's go into the next story in verse 3. And I'll explain this story a little bit, and you can go back and read. So Jesus walks into the synagogue. You'll see that in the beginning of 3, verse 1. And so it's very interesting, just as a side note, where do you often find Jesus on the Sabbath rest? In the synagogue. It is good for us to gather on a day of rest, to not just read the Bible by ourselves, but that's why we gather together, and Jesus has a precedent of doing that you can see all throughout the scriptures. So that's just a sidebar. But what Jesus does, he comes into the synagogue, and he sees a man who has a shriveled hand, a withered hand. And so he's here, and he looks around, and you see where he picks up. It says in verse 2, some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, he said, stand up in front of everyone. In verse 4, then Jesus asked him, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they remained silent. Now see, these religious leaders, they had in their mind, you couldn't heal on the Sabbath because that is work. You can't help other people. You can't pick grains in the field if you're hungry, because this is work. And we were commanded by God not to work. But you see, they're missing the point. They're missing the point of the Sabbath. And so Jesus says this. They remained silent because they were afraid to say, it's okay to heal, it's okay to do good on the Sabbath. Because if they said that, then they would say, oh, it's okay to work on the Sabbath. But they missed the point. Look at Jesus' response in verse 5. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed. We've looked at that over the past couple of weeks. Jesus is angered and deeply distressed. We often think of Jesus as just kind of happy, he's nice, but he becomes angry. Angry at things. Here's this man with a shriveled hand, and he's hurting, and nobody wants to help him. Nobody cares about him. They care more about religion than they do this man that's hurting. They care more about religion than feeding the hungry. And Jesus gets upset with this. Jesus is distressed. It's in his soul. It's the way we were wired, and we're ignoring the needs of other human beings. And so Jesus gets angry. Do you know an angry Jesus? Not angry with all of these that sometimes we can assume in our own lives. We can take Jesus' anger towards ourselves, but Jesus gets angry towards injustice. He gets angry when the poor are marginalized, when the poor are oppressed, when the hungry are not fed. And so here Jesus is upset and he says this. He says, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out. His hand was completely restored. It says, then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians that they might kill Jesus. Now, isn't that interesting? Jesus is restoring and giving life, and the Pharisees are plotting to take life. Religion is taking, it's sucking life away, and Jesus is giving and restoring life. We have such a dichotomy in the scriptures here. And really what I think where we get grounded in this text when we look at it is that the point of the Sabbath is to be restored. The point of the Sabbath is healing and finding it. It's for the hungry to be filled. The Sabbath is about the shriveled being restored. And that's really where you and I come in. Our hearts, we're hungry for something more. Our hearts might be shriveled. And maybe you might find yourself maybe like the Pharisees, the religious leaders who were standing off on the sideline and waiting for somebody to mess up. Do you do that? Do you maybe find yourself, if you don't, if you're coming in here this morning and maybe on the sidelines and saying, I'm not sure what this Christianity thing is all about. And maybe you find yourself on the sideline like these leaders and you're looking for ways for Jesus to make a mistake. You're looking for ways for Christians to make a mistake just so you can say, see, I told you, this isn't what it's cracked up to be. Some of you are Angels fans. I'm still trying to be converted. I'm not there yet. I'm still pretty bitter, Giants fan, 0-2. You guys beat us in the World Series. I'm still grieving that process. I might go to grief share. But anyway, so some of you know Tim Tebow, right? The famous football player. August 30th, he has a tryout not far away from here. And Angels are one of the teams that they're going to look at him. Now, Tim Tebow's this controversial, sometimes Christian, because he's outspoken about his faith. I don't personally know him, so I'm not necessarily putting my stamp of approval on him. But I find it interesting. I found one watching ESPN one morning, they were talking about, they said, man, we got to give this guy a break. This guy's a really nice guy, and always in the media, we're always looking for him to mess up some way. We're waiting for that drama, that just for him, and then we could say, see, I told you. Now, here's the reality. Because Tim Tebow's human, he probably at one point will mess up. But do you find yourself on the sideline waiting? If we look at his life, he seems like, I don't know him personally, but he seems like a really nice guy. And yet, we're willing to find one mistake and just throw out the whole thing, the expression, throw the baby out with the bathwater. We do that, and so maybe you find your heart hardened. As Jesus says, their hearts were stubborn. They were stubborn because they would not, they were looking for something wrong in somebody else. And they really miss kind of the forest through the trees. They miss everything because they're so focused on these small little details. And that's where the religious leaders are. So bringing us back to the Sabbath. If the Sabbath is about being restored, to find this word that we find in the Hebrew language, shalom, it's peace. And we find being restored, comfort, peace, rest. And if we're supposed to take a day of rest to be restored, Jesus is showing in these two examples, it's about being restored. Now look at this interesting verse with me in chapter 2 at the very end, the last verse. In verse 28, it says, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So Jesus is Lord of rest. Jesus is Lord of peace. He is peace. He is rest. That's who we have in Jesus. Jesus is Lord. All of these religious rules, you will miss it if you don't see the fact that Jesus is rest. So how do we find Jesus as being our rest? And really, I think it boils down to this, that we can find that if he is the Lord of the Sabbath, that we, when we find our rest, we find it, ultimately, it's pointing us to the cross. So the Old Testament was written before Jesus came, and so it's pointing forward. So we're supposed to take a Sabbath rest, and this Sabbath is pointing towards Jesus. The rest and ultimate peace that we have. Why? And let me explain that. We grow tired and weary because often in our souls, when we try and find approval with other people, we often try and find approval with God. Do you do this if you've been following Jesus for a long time in your life? Do you try to show others? I think this is often the funniest thing I find in Christianity, when we try and impress other Christians. To me, it's ironic that we try and do this. We try and impress other Christians. Look how I'm obeying. Look at my quiet times. Look at my scripture times. And these are all good things. Yet, we try and impress other Christians, and I feel like God's just laughing. Why are you trying to impress other people? Why are you trying to find peace from other people? Where our hearts and our souls really find rest and peace is in Jesus. So the gospel message is this, and we often can find this very offensive. The gospel says essentially this, wrapped up, that we are more sinful than we ever thought, yet we are more loved than we ever imagined. Now, this message that says we are more sinful, that can be very offensive to us. But the reality is that we have to realize our brokenness. That we, the more we are willing to say, you know what, I don't have all the answers. I make mistakes. And that's the message that we see throughout the gospel time and time again, that it is okay. In a few weeks, we're going to look at these disciples, these religious, the Jesus' right-hand men. They made some of the worst mistakes out of any of us. Christianity, the message of the gospel says, you are flawed. But if you just hear that and don't stay, it is offensive. But the reality of the message is that you are more loved than you ever knew, hoped, or imagined. I love this verse, Matthew 11, 28, if we could go there. Do we have it up on the screen? Matthew 11, verse 28. Pages sticking together, sorry. It says this. Jesus says, so if Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, are you burnt out? I love the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases this. He says, are you burnt out on religion? Religion tells you all of the do's, all of the things you need to do to get to heaven. All of the mistakes, the shame that you bear, religion tells you, okay, if you just read your Bible, if you do these things, then you can find God. Then you can find peace. Then you can find rest. But the reality is we can't. You can't do enough to find or earn God's favor. That's the reality. Yet there's hope, and it's in this, as Jesus says this. I'm sorry, we don't have it on the screen. That's my fault. It says this, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you need rest for your souls? Because what Jesus is saying, Jesus went ultimately, he goes to the cross to take an imperfect people like you and me, and he goes to the cross and he dies for our sins. He was punished. The scriptures say that he bore on the cross all of our iniquities, all of our sin. And on that cross, he nailed your sin and my sin. And so the message of Christianity is no longer what you need to do to get God's favor, because it has been done in Jesus Christ on the cross. Do we understand that? That is the message of the gospel. Christianity, religion, what the Pharisees say, the religious ones that are standing off on the sidelines saying, you need to do this. You need to read your Bible. You need to do this, and then God will love you. Jesus goes to the cross, and he nails it, and he says, all of your mistakes have been washed clean. And he says, it is finished. As he breathes his last words on the cross, he says, it is finished. And so the message of Christianity is what has been done in Jesus Christ. It's not what you can do to earn God's love. So that's how we find rest for our souls. Because your soul will constantly say, oh, I need to perform more. I need to perform more. I love one of Jesus' examples in the scriptures where he says, some of you will do a lot of good things, but he'll say at the end of your life, he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. You were just trying to do good things. And you actually missed the whole thing. You missed the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And guess what, friends? In there, it's rest. It's rest from our weary souls that are trying to earn somebody's favor. Think about somebody like a busy dad or a little kid trying to earn, Dad, look what I did, look what I did. And just, We've seen pictures of that. We've seen that. We've been that dad. Yet, we have a Heavenly Father that has our full attention and says, come to me. Are you tired of trying to earn my attention? Because guess what? All of it, all of my love is complete, and you are secure in the cross. And that's the hope that you and I have here today, that when you put your faith in Jesus, that you don't have to run. You can step, remember that rat wheel. You can step out of that race and trust in the finished work of the cross. And so maybe this morning you find yourself tired. Maybe you've been a Christian for a very long time and you've been trying to earn God's approval. But really, friends, we can't go anywhere. Next week we're going to talk about work. 6 days we're called to work and one day rest. But I don't want us to leave today. Today we're simply talking about resting, and resting in the fact, as we talked about last week, that when you put your faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ, he looks at you and says, this is my son, this is my daughter, with whom I'm well pleased. May you hear that this morning. May you rest in that. May you be restored in that. Maybe you are hungry for something more in this life. And you're looking and you're longing and you're trying to please God, or you're trying to please your friends and your family. But you can find rest when you know you are loved by your Savior. Then you can rest in that and find joy in that and peace for your souls. Because there is no peace anywhere else. And that's only where we can find peace, and that's in the cross. Would you pray with me? Father, you invite us to rest. Lord, maybe this morning, maybe we've been running and we're tired of running. Lord, maybe some of us are struggling right now, and maybe we feel like our hearts are shriveled, we're angry, we have this pain, this suffering we're dealing with. Lord, you said to the man with the shriveled hand, you said to stretch out your hand. to find healing, to be restored. Maybe some of us right now, we would take a step of faith as we continued with our eyes closed and our heads bowed. Maybe we need to find rest this morning. So I encourage you, if you hear the words of Jesus, that maybe right now, as your eyes are closed and heads are bowed, maybe you just stretch out your hand and taking a step of faith and saying, Lord, I need to be healed. Would you, whether sticking out your hand right now or your heart, in your heart, just simply say, I need to be healed. Stretching out, realizing our need for the Savior. Would you rest in that, knowing, he says, to stand up. And he completely restores the man's hand. May you be restored in Jesus. Maybe you've been trying to find hope and peace elsewhere, but right now, Father, we find our joy, our hope, our rest in you. Lord, right now, we breathe out, knowing that hope and peace is only found in you. Rest is found in you. Forgive us for the ways that we find rest in other things. Help us to find rest in you and you alone. We ask that in your Son's name. Amen.